Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The U.S. economy adds 2.5 million jobs.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are going to be taking your calls today, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into two topics. One is the breaking news that is the stock market is rocketing right now. The president has spoken to the American people at a time when most folks in the business world who track the stock market closely, who track the jobs reports closely, even with the stock market that was starting to make these gains over the last couple of weeks, big gains that we would see. And today, you're looking at 900 plus points as we're coming to you right now. It's hit even up 1,000 points at one point in one day. And just the morning, you know, and now that we're getting into the afternoon on the East Coast. But I just want people to realize that this was a prediction that most thought would be another 8 or 9 million jobs lost. And there was a gain. There was a gain. And this, again, is just going up through May. So for many states, depending on where you are in the country, and again, you may not be feeling this for your business yet. Depending on where you listen to us and how your state and what your governors have done, what your mayors have done. But remember, many states across the country have gotten to phase two of reopening, which included a lot of businesses going back to almost full capacity, almost not there quite yet, and a lot of restaurants starting to reopen inside seating too, at 50%. Some are looking to phase three, well, they get to 75%. So you're starting to see people come back to work, and also see people in industries that are planning to be able to reopen start preparing. You know, if you shuttered a large building or a big restaurant or a hotel, and you now see those hotels coming back in the service sector. Think about airports. American Airlines announced they were going to increase to up to 55%. They were as low as like 10% and 15%. I mean, they're back to half their domestic travel capacity at least by the end of this month. So I think this is a big deal for the country, and at a time we've been rocked by the riots, we've been rocked by COVID-19. I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson, who is specialized in law and economics. So Harry, this was something, and the president said this too, that no one predicted across the financial world that we'd see a net gain of 2.5 million jobs in this job report, which does not include a lot of the reopening, which began on June 1st.
Jordan, you're absolutely correct. In direct contradiction to expert opinion and the nation's fearmongers, the unemployment rate dropped over the past month as the economy added 2.5 million jobs, defying predictions of additional layoffs in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Unemployment now sits at 13.3%, falling from 14.7% in April. Many economists, by the way, had expected the unemployment rate to reach 20% or higher. And so now we have perhaps the commencement of a turnaround, and it reflects the fact that the nation has partially reopened. We're seeing job gains in restaurants, construction, healthcare, and retail, while airline and hotel jobs continue to fall. So lastly, let me point out, the job numbers suggest the largest monthly increase in employment since 1939. That is truly stunning.
I mean, this again, and I know that people are still hurting out there, and that we're not at 100%, that's still too high. But they were predicting it to go higher, and the president calling on governors to start get the reopening moving. I mean, he took out the L.A. mayor and said, think about this. California and New York basically are zero in this. Think about what that will do to the economy. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This is the test. You know, the president said this morning, because the economy was so strong, and we all know that going into the pandemic and decisions were made, it was really, you know, supposed to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then maybe we alter some of how we operate as in our country until, you know, and just kind of see where COVID-19 was going. And the idea that, you know, if you go in strong to the surgery, and if you have to do something extreme, you're still more likely to come out of it in a better place if you go in strong than if you go in weak. Now, does that mean, though, that this can't quickly be reversed? I think it can. As the president said, you start raising taxes on people, you start doing a Green New Deal, you know? And by the way, the markets would start predicting that, depending on what happens in November, for what's going to happen in January. So you would probably destroy all of these gains and anything else gained throughout the summer, and people will be again. You know, if you're gonna run on more regulations, or that 15% of the country are bad people, because Joe Biden, who's not yet getting, by the way, enough attention for this, but I will predict now that this is the moment. Hillary Clinton was basket of deplorables. Joe Biden predicting that 15% of the U.S. population—that's 50 million people. This is Mr. Mass Incarceration, by the way. Let's not forget that. Mass incarceration for low-level offenses. So does he think 50 million people should be behind bars? And he runs to run for president of the United States? Take a listen.
And the words the president says matter. So when a president stands up and divides people all the time, you're going to get the worst of us to come out. Do we really think this is as good as we can be as a nation? I don't think the vast majority of people think that. There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there that are just not very good people. But that's not who we are. The vast majority of the people are decent. We have to appeal to that, and we have to unite people. Bring them together. Bring them together.
You know, I'm going to go to Andy first on this. This idea, again, that if you're going to run for commander-in-chief and you're going to say that you're not disagreeing politically with, like, the other side, you're not just disagreeing with the president, but 10 to 15% are not just people you disagree with, but are bad. I mean, that's, again, I don't think he's talking about original sin there and the kind of nature, you know, natural law. I think that what he is getting at is that that 50 million people are, I guess, should be written off. I mean, it's very disturbing to run for president and believe that.
Well, I mean, that's the impression I get when you make the statement, the 10-15% of the American people are bad. That means that they probably ought to be locked up and not permitted to engage in any social interaction whatsoever because they're bad people. What a foolish statement to make. From a person who can't remember whether December 7th was D-Day or Pearl Harbor Day and is running for president of the United States. It's certainly a message that is confusing and confused, but it's a person who obviously is not fit, in my view, to certainly be commander-in-chief and to be the executive of the United States of America.
I want to get everybody's thoughts on this. I want to get your thoughts on it, too. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we're going to get into, too, some compare and contrast. It's interesting now the liberal medical community now is okay with the protest because they're okay with that speech. They just don't want you to go to church. You know, they don't want you to have any civic engagement. But it's okay to go with 10,000 people and riot. And, you know, whether you agree with the protest or not, it has been something where, you know, people were getting arrested and businesses shut down that were trying to reopen because they didn't have a mask on or how many feet and how many people they had and what percentage. And it's either 10% or less than 100, whatever's less, you know. And yet mass demonstrations, I thought all those people were violating the law already by that. By the way, you are if you don't have a permit and you start blocking the roads and blocking highways and blocking the street. It can be civil disobedience. We've talked about that on this broadcast before. We defend civil disobedience, the ACLJ. Long history of doing that. That is different than rioting. And though we've seen some gains in cities across the country, you still see that's pretty out of control. And this Joe Biden comment, I want to go to Than. The political ramification of this, Than, I don't think we're going to feel yet today because people are, one, I mean, there's so much news coming out, whether it's the positive jobs report, whether it's the riots the night before, and all the different news going on, and the good conversations that have come out of George Floyd as well. I don't want to take away from that, the positive conversations. But what Joe Biden said is really, for the first time, he doesn't just say something that's ridiculous, absurd, incoherent, but it's direct. And we're just getting started with Joe Biden having to speak more and get out there more to the public.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, I don't think there's any question but that it's politically harmful, but it's also harmful on a societal level. I mean, which 10 to 15% of the people are he talking about? And quite frankly, no matter what the answer is to that, Jordan, it's not appropriate for an elected leader. It's not appropriate for a human being to write off 10 to 15% of the population. And look, I also don't think he's listening to the president because the president has spoken to both of these issues. He's spoken to the issue the people are in the streets demonstrating for. He's indicated a desire for more equal justice under the law. But Jordan, he's also acknowledged something that I don't think Joe Biden acknowledges in those comments. He's acknowledged the economic harm, the very real economic harm that shutting down an economy does. And you know what? Until the left in Washington, D.C. comes to a reality that a move to come together to reopen our society so that the least advantaged among us can get back to work, can get back to providing for their families, then Jordan, there's not going to be equal justice for those people, that did lose their job. And fortunately, Jordan, a bunch of those have now started coming back on board. Really, that is the issue that Joe Biden should be speaking to today, that the return of the economy can happen quickly, should happen quickly, and he should be pulling in the same direction.
Get your calls in, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson as well. This is, to me, Harry, if we were in the kind of normal 5 months before an election, never really is. We're in the United States of America. Things happen. Things are going on in the world all the time. But to me, what Joe Biden said, one, this is going to be in every ad, that in political ad, which it should be, from the Trump campaign and for Republicans running across the country. And Joe Biden's going to get pressed on this. I mean, he is not going to be able to hide in a basement and run for president of the United States. It's bad optics. And so I'm sure his campaign, every time he goes out there and speaks, it is dangerous for the campaign, but he can't keep hiding. And just your thoughts on claiming that 15% of the country, and this is a guy who already has an issue with the crime bill he supported, what that led to, and did he actually support it? Issue with saying if you don't vote for me, you're not black. I mean, Harry, your thoughts?
Well, mass incarceration, Joe Biden, suggests that there are a large number of people out there that are not very good. But in the same breath, of course, he claims that he has entered into a presidential campaign to unite people, to bring people together. So he has demonstrated in that particular sentence, first, his incoherence. Second, he has demonstrated his ability to demonstrate that he doesn't have much of a memory. He doesn't seem to remember his participation in laws that led to mass incarceration. He doesn't seem to remember that he supported many liberal bills and initiatives that have directly and adversely impacted minorities in the United States. So Joe Biden has a problem, and the problem starts first with his memory and secondly with his record.
I want to take this phone call to Frank in Florida on line one. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Great question coming up. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jordan. Listen, I want to say, first of all, congratulations on the acquittal of President Donald Trump. You guys did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Second of all, when I just found out about the issues about the 2.5 million jobs, which is a great thing because it helps out, what kind of jobs are in the sector that brought it up to that point so far?
So, Harry, I always right off the top, these are non-farm, so that's always taken out. But you've gone through the reports, too. I mean, so for people who are kind of wondering, hey, where have these increases been? I think also it really does depend on what city you live in. And sometimes it's not just the state, but it's also your municipal leaders, so your mayor, your city councils, which are keeping your city shut down. But, Harry?
Yes. Many of the job gains are in the restaurant industry, the construction industry, the healthcare industry, and the retail industry. It's important to remember that with the coronavirus pandemic, many hospitals shut down elective procedures and elective surgery. And so on one hand, they were clamoring for more personnel, they were clamoring for more ventilators, but ironically enough, they basically dissuaded large numbers of Americans from getting needed health care. So, for instance, people were fearful to go to a hospital, perhaps for a cancer checkup. And so this could lead to long-term problems for those individuals down the road. So it's heartening to see a rebound, particularly in health care, particularly in construction.
All right, folks, we come back. The sudden shift. The public health officials who told us don't interact with anybody, shut down your civil society, can't go to church, can't go to work, shut down your small business. Suddenly, it's okay to protest. It's okay to rally. This isn't just us commenting on that. This is actually, in their own words, top pandemic experts in the medical world, if you will, all saying now, okay, it's worth risking it for social justice. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So this is, we were sitting this around last night amongst ourselves. This was posted to Politico yesterday evening. And it's the headline is, suddenly public health officials say social justice matters more than social distance. That is not on the ACL. That's not the ACLJ's headline. That is Politico's headline. And it's this report with all of these epidemiologists. I mean, the folks who, this is their viruses or their specialty, their expertise at the top hospitals in the country. We're talking Johns Hopkins. We're talking the former dean of Harvard Medical School, who are now encouraging people to protest. So they're encouraging people to go into situations. These were the same people who told us that we have to lock down, that, by the way, they weren't satisfied with the 2 weeks, that we needed to lock down, close, stay at home, quarantine, all those different, you know, shut us off from the rest of the world because this is what we need to do. And not just for a temporary time period, for indefinite, until there was a protest. By the way, turn on the news today. You won't see a lot of reporters in masks. Now, they might be when they're at those protests or at these riots because there's so many people. And I love the fact when some of these doctors say, by the way, they signed on to, these health experts and doctors signed on to a letter, which I've got in my hands, and this was an open letter advocating for an anti-racist public health response to demonstrations against systematic injustice occurring during the COVID-19 pandemic. They're trying to say that these protests and rallies are about COVID-19. They're not. It was about George Floyd, something that was horrendous, has been condemned by basically everyone. I mean, I the fringe of the fringe are the only folks. I don't even see anybody really trying to defend it. It's just, to me, this idea. I mean, let me just quote. This is Jennifer Nuzzo from a Johns Hopkins epidemiologist. We should always evaluate the risk and benefits of efforts to control the virus. In this moment, the public health risk of not protesting to demand an end to systematic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus. Okay, but not going to church. So they get to pick and choose? I mean, listen, you choose your mayors, you choose your governors and states, you choose where to live. And, you know, I think more and more people are starting to feel the impacts of that. It's not just about taxes. It's also about this kind of control. It was supposed to be a couple of weeks. And the president was clear today. He said, you know, states need to start reopening. And he talked about places like Los Angeles. He's talked about places like New York and others. We had empty cities, empty towns, without the kind of police that would usually be there because there weren't the normal large events across the country. So whether it was Atlanta or New York or Minneapolis, these were dead cities for the most part, empty. So the kind of security that would usually be there, because there was concerts and sporting events and large church gatherings, they weren't there. The people weren't there. So they had to be brought in, and then you had to bring in National Guard. I mean, it's, you know, you see. And we're bracing for yet another weekend of these protests. So I want to go around and just get people's thoughts on this as well. I'll start with Harry as well. I know, Harry, you've gone through this report. It is infuriating to see that they basically said if you were against the quarantine or you believe that your state needs to start opening up, you must be a white supremacist. But if you support these rallies, and listen, most of the people in them, I think, do support good causes, but there's certainly a group which has hijacked the protest movement. That's no longer up for debate anymore. And it's led to violence, which has overshadowed the whole reason there were protests to begin with, Harry.
I think you're absolutely correct. So it's important to remember that since George Floyd was killed, more than 15 people have been killed in shootings and knifings and other incidents all around the country. And so suddenly public health officials say social justice matters more than social distancing. This move confirms what African-American linguist James McWhorter said in 2015, that anti-racism has become what many anthropologists would call our new religion. It is what we worship as sincerely and as fervently as many worship God. For months, public health officials have urged Americans to take every precaution to stop the spread of COVID, to stay at home, to steer clear of friends, to decline to go to church. But now they've discovered perhaps a new religion, and they're saying, oh, we should evaluate the risks and benefits. And basically, I think we should note that many of their former statements were grounded in a fraudulent basis, I would argue, in the first place. On one hand, they said, ignore, for instance, the beginnings of the crisis. It's not terribly important. There's no need to wear a mask. Then we imposed a lockdown. And then many of the states, headed by tyrannical governors, they shut down churches. They shut down the ability of the American people to plant seeds in their backyard. But now, of course, you can do virtually anything you want, so long it is that it is under the so-called social justice rubric. And I think this, at the end of the day, makes no logical sense, and I think the American people will see through that.
Here's another doctor, Andy. This is Dr. Karen. He's a Brigham and Women's Hospital doctor, and he's been very vocal on Twitter calling for others to speak out like him, and he says the injustice that's evident to everyone right now needs to be addressed. Wonderful. While I voice concerns that protests risk creating more outbreaks, the status quo, that's interesting, the status quo wasn't going to stop COVID-19 either. So we've locked down our economies, we've locked down individuals, we've created, for small businesses, really tough times. And we see these mayors and states. I mean, remember, these are the same people who endorsed an article in The Atlantic when Georgia began reopening, saying it was, quote, a test in human sacrifice. Yeah, an experiment in human sacrifice is what The Atlantic wrote.
Yes, I remember there was round condemnation of Governor Brian Kemp for reopening Georgia because you are really going to sacrifice the people in the state because you are slowly opening the state's economy again. And yet, now in the name of rioting, so-called social justice, and proposing white nationalism, it's okay to do that. All I know is that we were told by the scientists, stay in your house, do not leave, do not do anything without wearing a mask. Do not get into any crowd. Stay 6 feet away from everybody. The CDC was saying that. And now the former head of the CDC, Tom Frieden, who loudly warned against efforts to rush reopening, who wanted us to stay closed, is now supportive of what? Mass protests, where you get thousands of people breathing and spitting upon each other. So his claim is, if we don't address racial inequality, this is a real non sequitur, it'll be much harder to fight COVID-19. So what is it? Which way is it, Tom? Do you fight it by locking yourself up or going in a crowd? Before you said, don't go in a crowd. Now in the name of opposing white nationalism and white supremacy, it's okay to go into a crowd of thousands of people. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, a month ago, it's an experiment in human sacrifice, and today it's take to the streets. We're going to be back, second half hour, talk about the economy, your questions on that. Also, where's your state? Where's your city? I want to get people's thoughts from around the country because we focus in on these big cities, and I think sometimes we forget where most people live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110, your calls, your comments. I also want to start hearing from folks because I think, you know, we do discuss this on the show and you know, because we're live and we're all around the country, to hear from you what it's like in your city, what it's like in your state and with the reopening. Because, you know, I look at this. This is a tweet from Benny Johnson, and it shows the governor of Michigan. And she's been extremely extreme. And the way she's tried to enforce these stay-at-home orders as a governor. Remember, depending on what state you're in, governors can have more power, less power. Sometimes mayors have more power at, you know, when it gets down to the community level and enforcing these. So that you could be in a red state, but you could be in a city that's a blue city. And like most major metropolitan cities are in the United States, the bigger cities, not all but most. And because of that, you're kind of like stuck in a phase one reopening. And maybe not even getting there yet. So she's in this picture. I guess are we putting this up now so everybody can see this? Normally, this would not be, you know, she could choose what rallies. If we were not living in the COVID-19 times, fine. I wouldn't be showing this picture. She can go to whatever rally or protest she wants. But she's got a mask on. The two guys next to her don't. And I think the one woman does, but the other guy doesn't. Remember, your mask only protects is only protecting other people. It's not protecting you. That's what we were told, anyways. This is the same woman who is like putting, you know, people who have barbershops in prison and putting out giant fines, but whose husband called in, you know, special treatment for his boat on Memorial Day weekend, by the way, and has tried to play it out. Oh, he was joking. This, again, it is showing to me, it is just, I have no issue with protest. I have no issue with even civil disobedience. We defend civil disobedience, but there's so many issues going on right now, I would say, that if people felt like they needed to protest, that's wonderful. Civil disobedience, great. When it becomes riots, no. And I think the police are stepping up for the most part. They've certainly increased. But this weekend could be pretty out of control looking again. We just don't know. But I want to just, again, just put all of this out there for everybody because I think it kind of all flows together, if you will. Let me go to Terry in New York on line three. This is a good call. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing? I really do appreciate you guys. Hey, so Terry. I just want to say, you know, I support you guys every month because you're valuable to our country.
Thank you.
But I live in Cattaraugus County. We've had 78 people in the county with COVID and 4 passed away and the whole county shut down. I just don't get how you could destroy a whole county. I've been not working for 3 months, and I sell insurance because I go to companies, but I can't work for no real reason.
Well, I think that this is the point. It's like New York is getting treated like everywhere is New York City, and New York City had a very bad outbreak. I'm not denying that COVID, by the way, this is not some denial of COVID-19. It's kind of just like, how do we start put together the risk and reward of life and choices that we get to make as Americans. But Andy, this is the issue, is that some of these states took this one-size-fits-all approach. That may have worked for a couple of weeks, may work for a few weeks, but you start getting past that and you realize it just doesn't make, people are outraged because it makes no sense for them and their community because they didn't see the outbreak. They didn't see the numbers, thank God. That's wonderful, that's great. Because that temporary pause worked. It gave the hospitals time to get ready for what they might have to face. The president said today they think that if they, you know, 100,000 plus deaths, if they hadn't taken some of these actions, could have been 1 million plus deaths.
Well, that's exactly right, Jordan. The one shoe fits all approach that the way you treat Hazelhurst, Georgia, is the way you should treat Atlanta, Georgia, doesn't make any sense because the disparity in the population, the density, the likelihood of the spread of the virus doesn't work. And the failure of these public officials to take account of the realities in the disparity of treatment has led to what this caller said. I've only had 4 deaths in the community as opposed to 4,000 or 22,000 or whatever does not really indicate that the public officials know at base what they're really doing in putting these restrictions on.
All right, folks, we come back to, if you didn't see the president's remarks, we're going to play some of those as well. I gotta say, I was encouraged. The way the president spoke to the country today was really encouraging. I think the stock market is reflecting that as well. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Just don't forget that in the midst of this, the other leading presidential candidate, this is fair to say, because, you know, the Republican Democrats, they are those two are the leading in the country. So Joe Biden is the other alternative people have, right? For the most part, there may be someone in the third party. I'm not trying to, again, impact that. But he just, you know, claimed today that 10 to 15% of Americans are bad. And he did that last night. And then we woke up to positive economic news that no one predicted. The president said, no one predicted this, you know, financial experts. And the stock market was on the rise, but not like it is right now. I mean, what I say right now is as we're coming to you live, we're looking at 900 plus point gains in 3 hours, you know, 3.5 hours. And then the president spoke and you could literally watch the stock market going up. But he had a warning too. You know, he said, if we don't do this right, and if we don't do this with the lower tax rates that we have right now and without the crazy government programs like Green New Deals and giant government spending, that, you know, this could all vanish. But that if we do stay on this course, we can recover quickly. He used the example of a hurricane. Those of you who have experienced that before understand what he's saying. It is devastating, but you quickly recover. You quickly rebound. You rebuild. You put the city back together. You put your community back together. The jobs flow in to do that rebuilding, and then you get things back to kind of normal. And that, again, it doesn't mean it's not bad. It doesn't mean it's not horrendous even to experience. I mean, like COVID-19, doesn't mean it's not tough to recover. But you can get there if you're committed to it. Take a listen to President Trump, Biden 11.
I think we're going to actually be back higher next year than ever before. And the only thing that can stop us is bad policy. Frankly, left-wing bad policy of raising taxes and Green New Deals and all of the things that you have been writing about long and hard that will stop it like you wouldn't believe. And frankly, it's holding it back.
The president also talks about getting an RV to travel the country and maybe head back to New York and speak to people because, again, he talked about it as well. Remember, we're getting this kind of recovery, and we've got two of our most populated states, Texas and Florida, led by Republican governors and much more Republican leaders at the local level too, and the state level, who have taken more aggressive approaches to reopening, and because of that, you're starting to see some bigger growth. You can add a lot more states, but this report doesn't include basically New York or California because they're still completely shut down. And so, you know, think about that. Think about that. It's not so much, it's not about politics. I'm just talking about people here. When they can go back to work, what those numbers will be, just like by saying you can reopen to 50%. 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Harry Hutchins on this. Harry, your thoughts on what the president said is that we can bounce back. It's not going to be overnight, but some of this kind of feels that way when you see how the stock market can make these gains. People not as worried about their looking at their 401ks now as they may have been a month ago. And you can see where the economy can go, but you can also see the other alternative, which is an economy where I guess 15% of us were bad people, and let's just keep it shut down.
I think that's exactly correct. And so I think it's important to note that the bounce back has started much earlier than virtually anyone predicted. That's number one. And the depth and the breadth of the bounce back is stunning. And I think the stock market is reflecting that. Can you imagine payrolls rising by 2.5 million? And that is a situation in which the economy is still not completely open. And so I think one of the jobs that the president faces is convincing the leadership in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, these large states, to absolutely reopen their economy. And you can do so and still take precautions. But instead, I think you will find that many of these leaders in those states, they are going to reopen the economy only for purposes of protesters. In other words, not necessarily expanding job opportunities or reopening the workplace, but apparently they're open for business for protest. And so I find it hugely ironic. And basically, it's a contradictory message, one that is propelled by our public health officials who are saying protests are fine. Standing close to one another is fine if you are protesting, but you can't stand close to a fellow worker. You can't stand close to someone who is actually producing goods and services for the American people. So I think the difficulty is convincing, like I said, the governor of California, the governor of New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, and some other states, including Michigan, who seem very reluctant to open up the economy. And that, I think, is the key issue at the moment.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is by reopening, you're not forcing anybody to do anything. People can still make decisions they want. They don't want to work, they don't have to work. They have to deal with those ramifications. But if they don't want to go to the restaurant, they don't have to go to the restaurant. They don't have to go to the store. It'll be up to them. Now, remember, a lot of stores, though, were still like, you know, think about grocery stores. Did anybody not go into one the whole time? I mean, you might have used some of those delivery services. You were having interactions. Remember, for a while, they were saying, you know, you need to put your mail in the garage because it needs to sit for 24 hours. And then it was, you can touch whatever you want because it's not really about touching. But we were told, don't wear a mask. In fact, you were bad. You were bad then if you know, let's go, or if you used an N95 mask that maybe you had because you're doing work on your house, or you know, painting your house, or doing the work in the backyard, and you had these masks and you were told don't use those, you should be giving those away.
That's right, because the mask itself is going to create a problem unless you put it to dry out for 3 days. You have to put it to dry out for 3 days, and then you can put it on again, or you get a new one or another one. But the thing that really is bothering me is the open letter that you adverted to earlier on by these healthcare workers and by the dean of the former dean of Harvard Medical School. Overnight, it seems, he says, behaviors seen as dangerous and immoral become permissible due to a greater need. What kind of scientific nonsense talk is that? It's a greater need to protest, to be in a crowd of 15,000 people, than to take a precautionary measure and to stay at home. So what first the liberals are telling us, mandated stay-at-home orders, Now it's okay because the public health is not really going to be compromised, because these protests are rooted in actions against white nationalism and run contrary to respect for black lives. So the protests against racism are okay, although that may increase the risk of COVID-19. In balance, the protests have to be supported. Makes no sense to me.
Well, this is what's interesting to me, Harry. Usually, I mean, you don't want scientists making all your decisions for you. If they could choose, their advice would always be, don't go anywhere, don't touch anything. I mean, for lots of, other than COVID-19, there's lots of other things. So you got to balance it with people in the private sector, elected leaders, our president, our governor, our mayors, city councils. And that balance seems to be going out the window, too, for the medical professionals. I mean, and maybe that's because they've kind of figured out, we've all figured out, is that, we need to, there's a risk balance, like there is always with law and liberty, and what are you willing to give up, what are you not willing to give up. We all did the right thing, it seems to me, Harry. We all went along with sheltering in place. These terms that don't even, that sound horrendous to begin with, like social distancing. We all did it. I think that that's why we've been successful as a huge country with so much interaction, so much travel, so open to the world. And I think that, people are urging this back. But the fact that the scientists are now reversing course, to me, it just tells me a lot, Harry.
Absolutely. It's important first to remember that many of these scientists, many of these medical people, when they've been giving us all of this advice, which is contradictory and in some cases absolutely fraudulent, guess what? They were and they are employed. They are going to work. They are interacting with other individuals, and they're telling us how dangerous it is for you and I to go to work. So that's number one. Number two, many of these scientists have been basing their advice on an absence of scientific evidence. And now we have scientists saying, it's okay to go out in large groups without masks, so long as it's the right purpose.
Even the report, the hydroxychloroquine, that was a big thing. Oh, the president said he was taking it. That's so dangerous. That could kill you. Except for that report got pulled. Did you know that? The report that came out, they didn't want anybody to see their how they got there. And now they've disavowed it. It's in the news. But it's tough to break through with things right now. That's why we're focusing on these issues. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call to be a part of the final segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. A phone line to our busy right now. We're going to write to the phones. Let me go to Gina in Kansas online too. I want to get your thoughts, your reactions. Tell us also, like, kind of an update. Like, what's it like in your state or your city? And I think for a lot of people, it is more city focused, at least regional kind of. Gina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. It's my pleasure to be on. And yes, I live in Kansas. And up until last week, the governor had a real harsh shutdown statewide. And because the legislature had voted that she couldn't expand or extend the shutdown, it was turned over to counties. And now counties are beginning to open. But we're still like at phase two. I think we start phase three this coming week.
Yep.
But I was basically calling about churches.
Yep.
And what I envisioned yesterday, when I saw pictures of Pelosi marching in a crowd, and then I saw pictures of, for instance, President George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, sitting in the church at the funeral for George Floyd,
right,
which I'm glad there was a great big turnout. But to me, that shows the falsity of they can all congregate together without masks for this, but we can't open our churches. They have it. I think it's no more than 100 people can congregate.
Yeah. No, I know. It's the lesser of 100 people or less, or, you know, a certain percent. But you have to pick whatever's lesser. Harry, to me, the downfall in this of our civil society, our institutions that we rely on for kind of the sense of normalcy, for the sense of routine, for a sense of community, when those had been shut down, not for 2 weeks. Okay, people can get through a couple of weeks. Americans could do that. We've rallied around tough times. But for 2-3 into a fourth month, you're seeing what it looks like to not have active churches, in the sense that you could join online. And I think everybody was doing that for a few weeks, but then it starts getting a little bit like more difficult. You start really, when am I going to get back to normal here? And Harry, I think that downfall, I know it will take more time to study this scientifically or to look, but when you close all the businesses and you close all civil society, you're left with what we have right now.
I think that's true. And I think some of the protest and the protest activity reflects the rightful desire of people to simply get outside. But as I've suggested earlier, the problem is compounded by virtue of the fact that much of the advice from public health officials was both fraudulent and inconsistent in the first place. First, like I said earlier, they said there was no crisis. Then they said masks were worthless. Now we have a crisis. Masks are required. Now public officials in New York, Pennsylvania have put COVID patients in nursing homes without precautions, they are still telling churches in many instances they must remain shut down. And so then the question becomes, how do people actually restart their community? How do they actually have a conversation, a normal conversation? And I think that is an absolutely huge problem that we need to sort out. And I think in many of these states, the people in those states, they need to rise up and either elect new public officials or ensure that the public officials are willing to hear from every segment of civil society.
Let me go back to the phones. I'll get Andy's thoughts on this. Teresa in Illinois, online 4th. Teresa, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you so much for... I just wanted to give my opinion. I'm glad you, ACLJ, is talking about this topic, because when I first saw these protesters, and I've been locked down for 3 months, and I'm in Chicago, okay? And the hypocrisy to me, or double standard to me, was appalling. I was offended, and I'm upset. I'm also a Christian. I can't go to my church. Yep. Here, our mayor wants to punish us and lock us up if we go, or 10 people. But this is appalling that you kept me locked in and we cooperated. And now you're saying that you've changed your narrative again. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your call. I mean, Chicago has been one of those shutdown cities. It's also then had to deal with what is the impact of that when you then all these people start gathering together and you're immoral, you're a criminal if you tried to go to church, obviously, but not if you are in a protest. And I just don't like the government, Andy, picking and choosing ever. I'm not saying the protests are bad. I think the rioting is bad. The protest is fine to me. I think that the First Amendment should apply equally to everyone in the country.
Well, I'm absolutely correct, Jordan. The First Amendment doesn't apply to the speech that you like. It applies to all speech, whether you are for it or against it. But there has got to be this balance, and I'm in sympathy with the frustration that the caller feels in not being able to go to the church of her choice and to worship as she chooses. In the church that I belong to, you have to make an application to go to church. You got to get online and apply, and only 25 families. You show up, you got your temperature taken, you got to wear a mask, and you can only sit 6 feet apart in the church. This is a huge cathedral. Now, it's okay, though, to go out and to mass riot. Some people condone that and say it's okay. It's an exercise of release of frustration over a horrible murder. It's not okay to do that in exchange for a murder. No violent crime is validly compensation for a murder that occurred. But I really understand the frustration that the caller feels by the picking and choosing of governmental agencies and governmental leaders of what you can and you can't participate in. One day it's masks, next day it's no masks. One day you get COVID by touching, the next day, no, you don't get it by touching. So that really puts into question, in my opinion, the veracity and the reliability of relying on scientific knowledge, so-called scientific knowledge. So behaviors that are dangerous and immoral one night become permissible the next in the name of social justice. I don't buy that.
Yeah, to be Harry, this is I think where the country is moving. I know people are talking about this, maybe not as much publicly, but if the government can tell you not to go to work, but that this specific kind of protest is okay because of what you're protesting, we're in a very dangerous legal world.
Absolutely. So essentially, we are entering the world of censorship. We are saying certain messages provide a basis for an exception to the rules of general applicability. So on one hand, with the coronavirus pandemic, we're saying churches are shut down, jobs are shut down, but it's okay for 15,000 largely unmasked protesters to get together. Why? Because their cause, their purpose is a righteous one. It's not the job of the government to decide what is righteous, consistent with the First Amendment. Under the First Amendment, we have the right to a free exercise of religion as well as the right to free speech.
I mean, this is if you're not going to let people go back to their workplace and get back to their jobs and get back to be able to provide food for their families and care for their families, take care of their families, which is a good human instinct, unlike what Joe Biden believes, I guess, that, again, I think that you're going to see mass protests in a different way because of how people feel. We'll continue to talk about this. Of course, we'll be back with you on Monday. Thanks for joining us on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.